8 years ago, a friend of ours was visiting Dallas from India, and his name was Dr. Thomas Samuel. And he called my home and he said, I'm in the Dallas area. Could I come by and visit with you and Stacy? And we were like, of course. We were honored to have Dr. Samuel in our home. He's a wonderful man. So he came to our house to visit with Stacy and I, and a seminary student was driving him, and that seminary student was Subhash. And so we met Subhash that day also for the first time. So Subhash and I, we exchanged contact information, and from that we started developing a relationship that went on to a friendship between Alice and Subhash and Stacy and I. And that then, also our kids became friends, because our kids are about the same age, so our kids started hanging out and doing things together. Then that went on to progress to doing outreach and ministry together. Fast forward to May of 2008, 3 years ago. 3 years ago, a group of us started praying. And we started praying about the Crossroad Church, whether it was of the Lord for us to start moving towards planting this church. And as more people joined us in prayer, we felt confirmation that this was of the Lord. And so in the fall of 2008, we had our first preview services. And in January of 2009, a little over 2 years ago, we started our weekly services and functioning as a church. And Subhash has been our pastor these last 2+ years and has faithfully served as our pastor. And we've all benefited from Subhash and from Alice and their service to the Lord in our midst, meeting our needs, teaching the word. We've all been blessed by that. Subhash gave a good illustration last week. He talked about being a pastor is like being in a relay race. You run your leg and then you pass the baton on to the next person. As you may know, a little bit towards the end of 2010, early 2011, Subhash and Alice felt like the Lord was calling them to move on to a ministry called Grow. And Grow is a ministry that's going to be involved with pastoral training. And so he came to the SLT and the leadership team of the church and said, the Lord's putting it on our hearts to start moving into Grow. And we need to start thinking about who will be the next person to be the pastor here. Who will I pass the baton to run the next leg? So we started praying. We started talking to different people. And I don't think anybody was more surprised than myself that it seemed of the Lord that I was going to be that person. And so we started praying, and that confirmation came that God was calling me to be the next pastor here. And so Subhash and I began this transition process where Subhash began transitioning out of the pastoral role and I was transitioning into the pastoral role. And today, that transition process is over. It ends. As of today, I will be your pastor, your senior pastor, and Subhash is moving on to the next thing, to Grow. So he's passing the baton on to me, so to speak. And now it's my turn to run my leg of the race, and I hope I can run it well as Subhash did. You know, this is a day of mixed emotions for us. You know, we rejoice greatly over the work that God has done in our midst, in us and through us, with Subhash as our pastor, as our leader. But we have a lot of sadness too, because it's hard to say let go, you know, when Alice and Subhash and the kids are moving on. That's difficult for us emotionally. But there's also excitement and enthusiasm. I'm excited about the future because I'm anticipating the great things that God's going to continue to do in us and through us in our midst. So we have those mixed emotions today as we end this transition period. I thought it would be pertinent to look at God's word and see what does God say about the role of pastor And I chose as my text 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy. It's the second letter he wrote to Timothy. This is Paul's second imprisonment in Rome. According to tradition, shortly after this letter is written and sent, Paul will be killed by the Roman emperor. He will be martyred for his faith. And as you read 2 Timothy, you can sense that Paul knows that his end on this earth is coming close. It's coming close to an end. And he's starting to look forward to his future life with the Lord in heaven for eternity. And so he sends to Timothy this last letter with critical information, critical instructions, those final instructions. You know, Paul had mentored Timothy. He had discipled Timothy as a young man. And Timothy had now come into his own as the leader of the local churches in and around Ephesus. And so Paul, one pastor to another, is giving his final instructions to his young disciple. I'm going to read the passage to you, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. This is from the NIV. The verses are on the screen, so you can look along as I read. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. You know, in this charge, in these final instructions from Paul to Timothy, I see four basic principles for pastors. Four basic principles. The first principle is the proper motivation for a pastor. And we see this in verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. The proper motivation for a pastor is the triune God and the things of God. The proper motivation is the glory of God, and that the name of Christ will go forth in this earth. That is the proper motivation for a pastor. Now, that may seem obvious to you. You might say, well, it's obvious, of course. Well, the fact of the matter is, I think a lot of preachers and pastors start with that motivation, but they lose their way. Because there are a lot of competing things in this world that draws a pastor away. And I think we've all seen that. Money, power, notoriety, all these things can pull a pastor away from that proper motivation. And I think we've all seen that. You know, nobody can really look into the heart of hearts of a person. You know, in the deepest recesses of my heart, the real Bob lives. And only God can see that. And right there, in the deepest recesses of my heart, my motivation for being a pastor has to be God and the things of God. Anything else is improper. The second principle is the content of what a pastor teaches. And we see this in verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I mean, can you see, can it be stated any more clearly? A pastor is called to preach the word. This whole verse is about preaching the word. Whether you feel like it's good or bad, like you feel up or down, whether it's hot or cold, in season or out of season, at every time, a pastor needs to be prepared to preach and teach God's word. And he should use it to correct and rebuke and encourage. Now, what's so special about God's word? God's word is unlike any other words in the earth. It is unlike any word spoken by any man or written by any man. Because they're God's words. They're the words from God. We just saw Chris read, or heard Chris read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the verses prior to this. God's word, all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word has power. Jesus said to the lame man, "Take up your pallet and walk," and he walked. God's word has purpose. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's word is eternal. There's eternality in God's word. We read in Scripture, you know, the grass withers, the flower fades. But God's word exists forever. Now, I'm not talking about the physical book of the Bible, but I'm talking about the words on those pages. Power, presence, eternality. God's word is special. And here at the crossroad, we will hold a high view of God's word. We will hold it as the inerrant word of God. Now, when a pastor teaches, the word of God should be the central content of what he speaks and teaches. It's not supposed to be a secondary content or a secondary focus where something else is the focus and God's word is just subsidiary to that. A pastor shouldn't manipulate God's word to make it say what he wants it to say. That dishonors God's word. God's word. God's word is supposed to manipulate us. God's word is supposed to change us. We should not dare to attempt to manipulate or change God's word. Now, you've heard me say this before, and you'll hear me say this over and over again until you're probably sick of hearing it. But I believe that the Holy Spirit can transform lives when God's word is faithfully taught and is received faithfully with open ears and open heart. When God's word is faithfully and accurately taught and is listened with open ears and open hearts, the Holy Spirit can work through that and transform our lives. The content of what a pastor teaches and preaches has to be God's word, centered on God's word. Illustrations, stories, other books can be used to help our understanding of God's word, but they should always be secondary to the word of God. The third principle, there's a warning to pastors in verses 3 and 4. "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths or false teachings." This is a warning. It's human nature to be affirmed. It's human nature that you're going to want to hear that you're okay. You don't need to change. That's what we really like to hear, don't we? What we don't want to hear is that you need to change. That's not as pleasant to hear, isn't it? Is it? It's much more pleasant to hear that you don't need change. But the point of fact is that God wants all of us. He wants me, He wants you, He wants all of us to be in the process of transformation. He wants all of us in the process of becoming more like Christ. And that process means change. And change is often painful. Change is often difficult. Change is not usually very much fun, is it? You know, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must what? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. Now, there's great joy there. There's the wonderment, the blessing of a stronger relationship with our God in this. There's peace there, but it's not necessarily fun. You know, the gospel is the message by which we were saved. What is the gospel? The gospel says that Jesus died on a cross for our sins, for our debts, for our mistakes, and rose from the dead. And that anyone who simply trusts and believes that Jesus died for them is forgiven of their sins and knows God. They have a relationship with God. But the gospel continues in our life because daily we're called to, in a manner of speaking, kill off our old selves and live anew to Christ. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said we're supposed to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. That's what sanctification is about. That's what transformation is about. If you want to hear that you don't need change in your life, if you want to hear that you're fine just the way you are, now, we are fine just the way we are to some extent, but we still, all of us need change. All of us need to be made more like Christ. And we're going to teach that here at this church. We're going to teach God's Word, and through God's Word, all of us, including myself, are going to sense conviction through the Holy Spirit. All of us are going to find areas in our life that are not like Christ, that need change. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord willing, we can affect that change. We can see that change in our life. We can see transformation in our life. I like sports, and in the morning on the way to work, I like to listen to sports radio. And one guy was talking about a biography on Vince Lombardi. And Vince Lombardi, for those of you who may not know this, know the name, he was a legendary football coach for the Green Bay Packers in the 60s, won Super Bowls and championships, all those things, and has since passed away. But, when Vince Lombardi took over as coach of the Packers, he told the Packers were awful. And he said to them, he said this thing to them. He said, guys, we are going to relentlessly pursue perfection. And we're not going to get it. We're never going to be perfect. But in the process, we're going to achieve excellence. Now, let me just translate that to Christian talk. None of us are going to be like Christ in this life. Okay? We will be like Christ. We will be perfect like Him when we enter the gates of heaven and the life to follow. But in this life, we are called to pursue Christ-likeness. And as we pursue Christ-likeness by the power of the Holy Spirit and to the glory of God, we can achieve a certain level of maturity in our lives. We can achieve a certain level of Christ-likeness in our lives. We can glorify God as imperfect people in this world. And we're called to do so. And as your pastor, I hope that I call you, that I motivate you, that the Lord works through me to provoke and stimulate transformation, stimulate change. Lastly, the fourth principle is the mindset of a pastor. And this is in verse 5. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. I like what the New American Standard says. It says, be sober in all things. A pastor is called to have a certain level of maturity, a certain level of strength, a certain level of realistic expectations. That's the mindset that a pastor is called to have. So motivation, content, warning, and mindset. Four principles of being a pastor from 2 Timothy 4. Now I feel like Subhash has modeled that these past 2+ years. And we've been blessed through him. And it's my goal as I run my leg of the race now that I too model these principles as your pastor. So two takeaways. The first takeaway is that the pastor, me in this place, is called to preach the word faithfully. And there, I will be imperfect. I will not be a perfect pastor. There'll be several ways that I'm sure that I will not meet expectations or do a great job. I hope not, but I'm sure that it'll happen. But one thing that I will pledge to you, by God's strength and to His glory, I will be dedicated to preaching the Word here, to faithfully and accurately handling and preaching and teaching God's Word in your midst as long as I'm pastor. The second takeaway is for all of us as listeners, whether we are reading God's Word in our home, whether we're sharing God's Word with one another, whether we're hearing God's Word elsewhere, or whether you're sitting there and hearing God's Word at the crossroad, let's be faithful listeners to God's Word. Let's welcome God's Word with open hearts and open ears, such that the transformation by the power of the Spirit can take place. Now I want to switch from the call to pastor to some information about the church as we end this transition time and as I take the role of pastor here. Subhash was a full-time pastor, and he did a great job for us, and we were blessed by him. As a physician, as a doctor, I'm going to continue my medical practice full-time. So I will in many ways be a part-time pastor here. I will draw no salary in my role as pastor at this time or for the near future. My needs and the needs of my family will be met through my medical practice. The way that the church is organized is that the authority of the church, the governing body of the church, is what we call the SLT, the Strategic Leadership Team. And I, as your pastor, serve underneath the authority of the Strategic Leadership Team. The Strategic Leadership Team is essentially an elder board. And the members of the Strategic Leadership Team have three qualities. The first quality is that each person on the SLT has a maturity in their walk with the Lord. They're not new believers, but they have demonstrated and showed maturity in their walk with the Lord. The second quality is that they have a stable home life. Now, we're not saying perfect, but we're saying that their home life is stable. The third quality is that they are committed to the church. This is their home church, and they're committed to the mission of the church. So I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce to you again, and so that you, just to, everybody knows for sure who our strategic leadership team members are. I, as your pastor, am one of the members of the SLT. And my wife, Stacy, is there. I'm going to ask Stacy to stand to represent us, please. Stay standing. Our chairman of our SLT is Prem Gulati. So, Prem, would you and Kathy Gulati is his wife, could you all please stand, just remain standing? The third member of our SLT is Stanley Thomas, and his wife, Sibby, are here. Would you all please stand also? Stanley has been part of the SLT since its inception. The fourth member is Jim Silas. Jim, could you please stand up? Is Shirley here? Okay, so Shirley's his wife. She's teaching in Sunday school. Fifth member is Mike Hamilton. Mike and his wife, Kavita, are here. Guys, could you please stand? And our newest addition to the SLT is Gerald Kuravakal. So, Joe, would you please stand? And your wife's Lisa. Where's Lisa? Oh, there she is. She's in the back. So, guys, we're your strategic leadership team. You guys can sit down. Thank you. We're the ones that God has called. Thank you. That God has called to lead this church. And the strategic leadership team is the governing body of this church. Now, underneath the strategic leadership team functions the senior pastor, which is me. And I'm in charge then, in turn, in charge of the ministry of the church and leading the ministry of the church. Now, since I'm functioning as a part-time pastor, Gerald Kuravakal will be functioning as an associate/executive pastor. He'll be in charge of the day-to-day, kind of overseeing the day-to-day ministry and functioning of the church. And Gerald, could you stand back up again for me, please? And of course, you all saw Lisa already. She's working the sound system back there, the slides. Now, underneath Gerald comes the staff of the church. And God's given us a great and awesome staff. The first person I want to introduce, and you guys know all these people already anyways, is Sean Varghese. Sean, would you stand up? There he is. Sean's our pastor for the second generation. We call that the Bridge Ministry. So Sean's our bridge pastor and also leads worship quite a bit. The second member of our staff is the third member. Gerald's first. Sean, I can count. Sean's second. The third member is Stan Matthew. Stan, are you here? There he is. There's Stan. And his wife's Christine. Where's Christine? Could you stand up, Christine? Stan is our small group pastor. And under his purview comes the small groups. And then the newest member of our staff is Sharon Rogers. Is Sharon here? Okay, Sharon's teaching. And we're really excited to have Sharon here. She's in charge of our student ministry. And she's brought a lot of great ideas and organization to our student ministry. And for those of y'all who didn't know, Sharon's engaged to Jeremy. And so that's exciting news for them. You guys can sit down. Thanks. So we're the staff of your church. And we're called by God to do the ministry of the church. And we function, as I said, underneath the authority and leadership of the SLT. Now, we've talked a little bit about the past of the church, a little bit about the present and the present state of the church. I want to talk a little bit about the future of the church. Now, under Subhash's leadership, the church has been well established. We're well functioning. As you see, we have a very effective leadership team in the SLT. Subhash has put together a very strong staff here. And so the church is functioning quite well. We have several small groups that are functioning well within the church. We just started, as I said, the student ministry with Sharon. You know, every year we do VBS. We're planning VBS for next year. So there's a lot of exciting things happening here at the Crossroad in the church, in the organization of the church. Now, as we go to the future, I want to first remind you, what is the mission statement of the church? We have a combined mission vision statement, and we call it the three E's. The first E is to exalt the one true God. The second E is to edify one another. And we have, I think, a very wonderful church body in that we have diversity here. We have diversity both on an Indian level, meaning we have people from South India, North India, all different parts of India here. But we also have diversity with Indians and non-Indians in our body. So I think it's a beautiful thing. So as a diverse body, we will exalt God, the one true God, and we will edify one another. But the third E is we're going to evangelize those who don't know the Lord. And God has called this church to have a special focus on evangelism to the Indian / South Asian population. And even though we have been doing that on some level, I think it's time, and I think we're all sensing this on the leadership, to start doing more of the evangelism part, to start doing more intentional, organized evangelism. And so, as pastor, part of my heart, part of my vision, part of my drive is to start seeing that now that Subhash has done a great job in establishing the church, now the next step is let's start doing more of that evangelism. And the evangelism will come basically in kind of two separate areas. The first area will be what we call the second generation outreach. And Sean, as our bridge pastor, has already started doing and working along with a team of people, has already started working towards that direction of doing more outreach amongst that second generation. Very early on in the beginning of the church, Subhash had that heart that the second generation was in some ways kind of being lost. And we as a church needed to do something special, something different, something unique to reach that generation. And so under his leadership, the Bridge Ministry has developed and has started doing more outreach. And we're very excited as we're starting to lay plans to increase that outreach and even work with other churches and towards that end. The second area is reaching out to that first generational Indian presence and having more of an outreach in that area. And I feel like the Lord, you know, we've been doing ministry, doing outreach already in that area, but I think the Lord's calling us to start increasing our efforts there. And I see us working in two specific areas. One is that Jefferson Park area where there's so many people from our country. And the second area is the UTA campus. And so our goal is to show the love of Jesus to our fellow Indians in both word and deed. And so as God leads us, as God empowers us, as God enables us, our heart as leaders of the Crossroad, my heart as your pastor, is to see that outreach go to the next level. So we look at the past with joy. We view the present time with mixed feelings of sadness and joy as Subhash and Alice and the kids move on to grow. And we look at to the future with great excitement. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we praise you, Lord, for your work in our midst. The work you've done in us and through us, Lord, for these past 2+ years. And Lord, we thank you for Subhash and Alice and the kids and all they've meant to us. We pray for them, Lord, that you would watch over them and lead them and guide them. Lord, as I step in as pastor, as our leadership team, as our staff seek to serve you, empower us, Lord, lead us all, guide us clearly. And Lord, let us never, ever forget that the motivation is always the glory and name of Jesus Christ. Let that always be foremost in our hearts, foremost in our minds. And Father, as we seek to serve you, use us as tools in your hand so that people who don't know you, Lord, will come to know you through faith in Christ and his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, for his sacrifice on the cross. We praise your name. In Christ's name, amen.